And so time matters. And how much time you give to someone really impacts the way that you know them. And I think the same thing with God. And so it's this cool thing that while we were out at Ruach, we devoted a whole like 2.5 really days to being with one another and connecting with God. And it happens. And so it's fun. And I want to walk through this series now for everybody, not just for those of you who went to Ruach, but because I think sometimes we think that we only can connect with him whenever we go away on a trip or whenever we have this kind of big moment or whatever. Like, it happens day in and day out and day by day. We can get closer to him and look more like him. And so that's what we're going to talk about. So I have a quick story to share with you guys. So whenever I was 13 years old, so 8th grade, about your guys' age, I found out again that my family was moving. I know a lot of my stories involve this, but it was a big part of my life. I found out I was moving at the end of 8th grade, and so like I had a group just like this, a youth group that I was a part of that I loved. And I was super close with, connected really well with. And right before we left, there was a trip that we were able to sign up for that was like a big like camping trip that was up in the middle of Colorado. And so I moved with my family from Houston to Amarillo, which is 12 hours across the state. And then like 2 weeks later, my youth group from Houston, on their way to Colorado, literally drove their van to Amarillo, stopped, stayed there overnight, picked me up, and then we continued on for 8 more hours to Colorado. So, like, I felt super loved that they went out of their way. I mean, it was on the way, but it felt like it was like they went out of their way. I don't know. But it was nice. So I don't think many people would do that. So that was awesome. I got to go with them, and we went up to Colorado. And we were at this camp, and one of the days at this camp was supposed to be like this big hike that we were going to go on. We were going to climb a mountain that was over 14,000 feet high. There's not very many of those. Like, people in Colorado, they call them a 14er. I'm like, okay, whatever. I was like 13. I had no clue. I was 14, I think. I'm like, okay, whatever. But so here's like some actual picture that I took. Like, I know that looks terrible, but like just 13-year-old me with like a disposable camera being like, ooh. And so we got up at like it was legitimately the butt crack of dawn. Like, it was 5:30 a.m. I was like, what is happening right now? And we got up and we just started walking. Like, we got out, we had our backpacks and our water. I had no concept of what a 14,000 foot mountain was. I'm just like, oh, like, you know, we're going to go out in the morning, and then maybe we'll be back by breakfast. No, this is like an all-day thing. And once they informed me of that, I was like, where are we going to get lunch? And they're like, we packed granola bars. I'm like, what? What do you mean granola bars? I need more than that. I'm a growing boy. So we get out, and we start walking. I'm snapping pictures, but like it was beautiful out there. It was awesome. We're walking through the woods. And then we come to this point. This is actually right at the point where like we had just cleared the tree line. So for those of you who don't know, like trees only grow, up to a certain elevation and then it just kind of like stops. So we had been walking for probably like an hour and a half, maybe 2.5 hours at this point. And the trees were like over here and we had just cleared the tree line and I turned around and it was like, whoa, we're pretty high. Like, it was really neat. It's pretty neat. And it was just a lot of fun. And so I just remember I'd never done anything like this before, but I remember about 2.5 hours in, like, I feel like I'm in pretty good shape. Like, I was a cross country runner. Like, I run miles. This is fine. But I started, like, my legs started to get kind of heavy. I'm like, man, I'm getting really tired. Like, it's kind of hard to breathe up here. And so all I remember was I looked down, and at one point I just kind of like watched my feet like walk. Like, 1 foot, 1 foot, 1 foot. And that was just kind of what I focused on for, like, 30, 45 minutes, where I started to get really tired. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to make it. We're going to get up this hill. There was this point, probably, like, 3.5 hours in, where probably, like, a quarter of the students, like, just started crying because their legs hurt so bad. And I remember that I was like, you guys, we can't cry because that means that we have to stop, which means that we're going to eat dinner later. Like, we have to get up and down so we can go back and get food. This was like the main thing on my mind was food. But eventually we made it to the top, and it was this cool thing. Well, what's happening? That's not right. Can we go back? Oh, okay. We got, yeah. Yes, there it is. So we made it to the top. I know it's kind of blurry, but that's 14,000 feet up there. I don't remember what the actual name of the mountain even was. All I know is that I climbed it. I did it. And we'll do questions later. So we made it, and it was just like this huge accomplishment. And it took us probably like 5 hours to get up to the top of this mountain. And I'm like, yeah, we did it. And then they were like, all right, guys, time to go back. It's like, what? There's not like a helicopter that's going to come get us and like bring us back down or anything. So we had to then turn around and walk all the way back down. The walk down was almost worse because I kept, like, you had to like slow down your momentum because I it was really steep in some areas, and I thought that I was just like going to slip and fall. And just, I was like, well, if you roll down the mountain, it would be faster. So I don't know if I'd get dinner then ever again, but it would be way faster. So yeah, it was just like this really, it was beautiful up there. Like it was crazy. I'm pretty sure that's my knee. So that's 14-year-old me. That's my knee. So there you go. It was awesome. And being like the extroverted, like weird 14-year-old kid that I was, I decided that it would be fun. I don't have the picture. I wish that I did. We were like literally the top of the mountain was probably as big as like this little wooden like platform, like up front. Like that's literally it. Like you'd climb and then you'd get up there, and it was literally like you looked around and it was like, holy cow, this really is a peak. And I'm like, hey, you guys want to hold me up over your heads and take a picture? And so that picture is somewhere. I could not find it this morning, but there were three other middle school boys that I trusted my life to that probably was not very smart, that I had them like hold me above their head. And I'm like, yay. And my youth pastor took my picture. So I will try and find that picture for you guys. It was pretty nuts. But the reason that I tell you guys this story about this mountain is that it was exhausting. And like I said earlier, there came a point where like I just started kind of watching my own feet. You don't climb a mountain in like a moment. It happens over time. Like for this, it took 5 hours, right? And the only way that you get there is by putting one foot in front of the other. Like one step at a time, you get there, right? And I think that this is a little bit like our walk with Jesus. I think sometimes we think that whenever we decide to follow Jesus, or whenever we're rescued, like whenever we're saved, right? Whenever we become followers of Jesus, we think that like we're just going to know everything about everything. Like in a moment, to be like, all right, yeah, cool. I know all the right answers. All the things that I used to do that were bad, like I don't do that anymore. And it's all gone. All my problems are gone. It's great. And that's not typically the case, because following Jesus is something that happens day by day by day. Like, and it is one day at a time, just like one step at a time up to the top of the mountain. Does that make sense to you guys? That it's just like, it is one day after another, one day after another. And scripture talks to us about the importance of following Jesus, and of even learning how to do that better, right? Of how to train yourself, how to prepare yourself. So most people who climb mountains that are 14,000 feet high usually like train. Like they climb mountains a lot, or they do other exercises that keep them in shape and fit and ready to go. So like that's just something that they do, and they get better at it over time. People that climb Mount Everest don't just like wake up one morning and are like, hey, I'm gonna go climb Mount Everest and like go in like shorts and a t-shirt and like start climbing up the mountain. Those people die. So that's not a good thing. Like you have to train to climb a gigantic mountain like that. You have to prepare yourself. You have to be ready. You have to train. Like you have to, it takes time to get ready. For those of you that are in a sport, like you know that getting better at whatever you do does not just happen immediately. Like I ran cross country and you weren't just fast. Like some people had natural talent, but the people who are the best, they run like every single day and they practice and they focus on what they're doing and they train and they make sure that they're getting better and better and better. And so we're going to jump into the book of Timothy, chapter 4, verse 6. So right before this section, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's warning them. I'm going to read actually six verses before this one. It says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons." That sounds kind of crazy, right? But that's happening. And key in on when he says they will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. And then he goes on to say, not only through those teachings, but through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So he's saying people are going to fall away from the faith because they're giving their time away to things that are not good, to people that are deceiving them, to people who are liars, to people who teach the wrong things. Verse 4 says, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer." So he's set this up where he's saying, hey, some people that you know are going to fall away from the faith. Like people that you know, and I think to bring it back to reality for us, like we know people that say, hey, I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus, and then you talk with them like 6 months later, and you're like, hey, how's that whole Jesus thing? And they're like, you know what, I decided that whole thing was really stupid, and I decided that it's not for me. And you're like, okay. And like, it happens. Like, I know people like that. You know people like that, that are just like, it feels like they're in for a season, and it's like, yeah, like, this is really cool. I'm having fun. It's whatever. And then 6 months later, you're like, hey, you haven't been to church in a while. Or like, I haven't really seen, or you're not really living the way, and maybe you don't even talk to them. You just notice that. And then you hear, I'm like, yeah, hey, I used to go to church and the whole Jesus thing, but now, you know, it's not for me. It's just like, it's kind of lame. And they drop out. And they've been deceived. They've devoted their time to things that are not true, to liars, to people who are insincere, to deceitful spirits. Like it is real. Like we see that. And it's disheartening. But Paul goes on to lay out in this section that we're going to take a look at for just a minute, of how to avoid that. He says, hey, these people, they fall away because they've devoted their time and their energy over here. I want us to focus in another direction. And so here's what he says, 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. "If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness." So here's the cool thing. So in this first part where he says being trained in the words of the faith, that word for trained also is used for not just like to be trained, but to be nourished. So like I talked about how I love to eat earlier, like that I really wanted to get down the mountain so that I could get food. Like he's saying that being trained in the words of the faith, it's also being nourished by the words of the faith, in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine. Like that the words of Jesus, that God's word, the things that he tells us, that those things not only would be good for training, like but they would nourish us. Like, that would be the thing that sustains us. Does that make sense? In times of trouble, when things are going bad, I can run to God's word, and I read it, and I'm comforted. I'm nourished. Like, I am sustained. Like, it is important that you guys know what's in here. He's saying, you'd be trained in the words of the faith, right? Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. And you go, okay, well, train yourself for godliness. Like, I can't hit the gym for that. Like, my Y membership won't. Like, there's not, like, a spin class and, like, godliness class. Like, that's not available. All right? I will say that small groups are a thing, though, that we do here. That is something where we get to talk about godliness and we have questions about scripture. Like, those are important. And those are things that you guys should be looking to jump into and be part of. Reading God's word. So he's saying, hey, watch out for this. Because if you do, if you concern yourselves with these myths, with these things that don't matter, you're going to go the way of these other guys, of these other girls who have left the faith. So he continues on. Yeah, rather train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So he's saying, hey, you know what? Physical training is not a bad thing. Like, staying in shape, doing that, like, it's of some value. Yeah, like, you know, I don't want to not be able to walk up the stairs and stuff without passing out. I need to be in shape a little bit. I wanna be able to chase Leland around the house without, like, and he moves pretty fast. I'm pretty impressed. So, but he says, hey, that's not a bad thing. However, eventually, this body will die, and it will be useless. But what matters is godliness, as it holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. He's saying, hey, man, look beyond just what's happening now, and understand that your soul will go on, that the life to come is far more important than this life now. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end, we toil and strive. See, we work diligently. We work so hard for this because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. He's saying, work at this. Strive to be better. Work. And I don't want you guys to confuse this by saying, hey, there is work. We need to practice. We need to train. I'm not saying that you have to work, practice, or train to become a believer. You do not have to work harder. You don't have to train harder to become a follower of Jesus. The work and the becoming better and saying, man, I want to look more and more like Jesus happens after you're saved. There is nothing, there is no amount of work or practice or training or whatever that you can do on that side of the cross to somehow rescue yourself. Like, you don't, it's not like God says, all right, hey, who's been training? Who's been learning over there? All right, yeah, you and you. All right, you're on my team. And you guys are a little out of shape in your Bible knowledge, so not yet. Like, that's not what happens. I'm talking specifically to those of you who are already in Christ. You've been rescued by Jesus. You've been saved. You're a believer. You're a Christian. Like, you're in. And he's saying, hey, godliness is of value in every way as it holds promise for the present life and life to come. He's talking about training yourself. And here's the other thing, too. It's not like other words that we use, and one that I'm going to use probably in the next couple of weeks, is this word called spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines. How many of you guys have, like, a negative connotation or a negative reaction when you hear the word discipline? Anybody? Okay, most of you. Like, when I think of the word discipline, I think of me being 5, my mom, like, hitting me with a wooden spoon because I said some bad words. Yeah? I don't know if that still happens. The only reason I got spanked with a wooden spoon is because I told my mom that her hand didn't hurt anymore. And so that was one of the worst days of my life. So just so you know, when I think of discipline, right? When I think of discipline, that's what I think of in my brain. It's like, hey, Don't do that. Or I think of discipline in the way that, like, we brought a new cat home. Not me and Brittany. We didn't do that. But, like, whenever I was younger, my mom and dad brought a cat home, and it was, like, a little baby, and we had to train it or discipline it so that it wouldn't, like, climb on things or eat certain stuff. And so my dad had, like, this little squirt gun that he'd carry around. And it was, like, if the cat ever jumped up, my dad would, like, run over there and go, and the cat would go, ah! And it would run away and, like, hide under the bed. And for some of you, that's what I want to do with you. Like at Ruach, when it's like, hey, don't do that. And you're like, what? Get away. I don't know what that noise was. That's not what I intended to come out of my body. But because I'm sick, that's just what I've got to work with this morning, you guys. So that's it. That's all I've got. But training, right? When I think of training, I think of like, I'm practicing for something. I am preparing for something. I am getting ready for something. Like I am training. When I say tell people I'm training for a race or I'm training for something else. Like, what does that mean? It means that probably once a day I'm getting out, I'm running. One of my friends this morning is doing like, there's like a 75-mile bike ride happening this morning, like through Akron. And one of my friends is doing that. And I asked him last night, I'm like, hey, so you ready? Like you've been training? And he goes, no. And so he's probably in a lot of pain right now. I don't know. I'll hear from him when he gets done. Maybe. I don't know. But like you ask somebody, hey, you're running a race, right? Are you training for that? And they go, no, not really. You go, it's probably going to be a really bad race. Like it's probably going to stink. Really, it's probably not going to be any fun. So whenever we think of training, that's kind of what I want you guys to think of. For training. Like, God is not just sitting there with a squirt gun, like, waiting for you to do something wrong so you can be like this. Like, that's not what God does, all right? That's not what's happening. So let's continue. So Paul writes this, command and teach these things about what you're supposed to do, that you should be training, that you should be working, that you should be drawing closer to Jesus. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. So this is Paul, again, writing to Timothy, and he's trying to encourage him. Hey, Timothy, you've got these people that you're around. Some of them are falling away, and you need to encourage your people to do these things instead of this, so that way they know godliness. They know righteousness, that they strive after that. That's something that they long for, that they seek after, that they train themselves for. And on top of that, Timothy is kind of a young dude. And so Timothy's like, I don't know if these guys are going to listen to me. But Paul encourages him, hey, don't worry about your age. You can set an example to these guys and point them in the direction that they need to go. Do those things, and until I come, he begins to give him specific instructions. So whenever we say, hey, how do I train myself? How do I strive towards godliness? What do I need to do? He says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. All three of those things we're doing right now this morning. Pretty cool. Do not neglect the gift that you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Right? That word, practice. Do these things. Immerse yourself in them, so that all may see you, or all may see your progress. Immerse yourself. Like, when I think of immerse, I think of that picture of Ethan, like, immersed in the mud. Like, just covered completely, no dry spots left. Like, it's just, he's immersed. Like, he is one with the mud in that picture. It's crazy, all right? Immersed means like completely saturated, completely underneath. Like it is every, like you are in it. when you immerse yourself in water, like you're completely underwater, every single part of you is wet. Like you are all in. Immerse yourself in this. So he's saying immerse yourself in teaching, in exhortation, in worship, in all of these things, in the reading of scripture. Immerse yourself in this. And I think I would ask the honest question to all of us in here to say, like, when was the last time that you would use the word, like, man, I've really been immersing myself in scripture? It doesn't mean you, like, rip all the pages out and, like, jump in the bathtub with all your crumpled up Bible pages. That's not what it's saying. It's talking about, like, you need to be in God's word because this is his voice. Like, this is him speaking to us. This is important. Again, for those of us that went to Ruach, do you really think that it's any surprise that you felt like you connected with God maybe for the first time since Mix or since last year's Ruach or something else? Do you feel like it's any surprise that you felt like that was the first time you've connected with God in a while or maybe for the first time ever, and we spent every single morning and evening worshiping together, reading God's word together, talking about God's word together? Like, is it any surprise that you felt like, man, I think I'm on the right track here? It shouldn't be. Because whenever we immerse ourselves in God's word, whenever we talk about this, whenever we read this, whenever we're in this, whenever we are chasing God morning, afternoon, and night, regardless of where you're at, whether you're at school, whether you're at practice, whether with your family, whether you're at home, whether you're doing homework, whether you're whatever, like, no matter where you're at, if your heart is always seeking after God, that you'd work at everything that you do as if for the Lord and not for man, that you're constantly immersed in this, you're going to look different. You're going to stand out from the people that are around you that chase after things that are deceitful, that are lies. You're going to look different. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. He's saying, do this. Because the ultimate goal is not just that you would be changed, but that through you, many would be changed. Every single one of you guys sitting in this room today, this morning, if you immerse yourself in God's word, if you chase after him and you give your life away to him, the cool thing is that your life potentially isn't the only one that is saved. By your willingness to jump into this, to follow his commands, his kingdom is built. The gospel is spread. The word is preached and people are saved. And it's through his church that he wants to do that. And that's us. That's us sitting in this room right now. That's us. And so I want to encourage you guys, keep training. And we're going to look at this over the next couple of weeks of practical and good ways to say, all right, yeah, like I want to train for this. Like, what can I do? Like, you walk into the gym and you say, hey, I want to get super ripped. Like, and you just like start like flailing around on like equipment where you're like, okay, I think this goes this way. And I think this goes like this. And you're just like, you're just pulling things. Like there's like, I've seen guys, like, it's just crazy. You walk into the gym and it's just people who don't know what they're doing. Like they're just grabbing stuff and yanking on it. And they're like, this looks right. Like, and you're just like, no, it's all wrong. You're doing it all wrong. There are specific exercises, specific things that you do to work different muscles or different parts of your body or different parts of your arms or your legs or whatever. Like, if I want to be a great cross-country runner, just doing push-ups probably isn't going to be the thing that makes me real fast. Like, only I'm just going to do a bunch of push-ups. I'm going to be really fast. I'm going to be a sprinter. Maybe you should, like, run a little bit. Oh, yeah. I never thought about that. Like, if you want to look like Jesus, maybe just showing up on Sunday and expecting that to be the one thing that fills you up is just as good as you walking into the gym and just kind of like flailing around and being like, yeah, this is working. There's more to it than that. You need a plan. You need to be specific in your training. You need to know what you're doing. And I want to help us with that over the next couple of weeks. And I want to encourage you to jump into that and follow along and do those things. Don't let Sunday be the only time that you hit the gym. Don't let Sunday morning, don't let this be the only time that you engage with God. Because remember what I said even earlier about your relationship with your friends? Where you spend 1 hour a week with your friend, you're not going to know him very well. But when you immerse yourself, when you're around them all the time, you know them pretty well. And you can care for one another, and your relationship looks totally different. And so in the same way, the way that you're connected with God and the way that you know him is totally different when you immerse yourself in his word and the things that he's speaking. So that's what I want to leave you guys with this morning. So I'm going to pray for us. The band's going to come up, and we're going to worship a God who loves you, who has created you, and knows you. And he wants you to draw close to him. And so we're going to sing. So I'm going to pray. We're going to have the band come up, and we're going to worship together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for this morning. Thank you for just the way that you have made us to know you. You have created us to be with you. You created us for you. That we would worship you, that we would give you the praise that you deserve, the glory that you deserve. And I just pray that we would do that this morning. All of us together in this room, that regardless of where we've been this week, or this weekend, or whatever, God, we can give you the praise that you deserve this morning, and would our hearts just be focused in on you, and would we be changed by you day in and day out, that day by day, one step after another, we would continue to look more and more like you. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.